Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we explore the bounty of the summer garden. I don't know about you, but I don't know anything better than the first sweet corn of the cob of the season, or a freshly ripened and picked tomato on a BLT, or a mess of freshly picked fried okra. But today my guest gives us a lot more ideas for moving vegetables to the center of the plate. Susie Middleton is a longtime food writer and a former editor of Fine Cooking magazine, who now lives year-round on a small farmette, as she calls it, on Martha's Vineyard. She runs a small farm stand each summer and is the author of two cookbooks devoted strictly to vegetables. Her first, Fast, Fresh, and Green, was a collection of vegetable side dishes. Her latest book, The Fresh and Green Table, Delicious Ideas for Bringing Vegetables into Every Meal, published by Chronicle Books, is devoted to vegetable main dish recipes. She also writes a blog about her adventures on the farm and great recipes all year round on her website, sixburnersue.com. Susie Middleton joins us today by phone. Susie Middleton, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Rich. Glad to be here.
Yeah, the centerpiece of this book is using vegetables as the main dish, the fresh and green table. What was the inspiration for making vegetables the main course, if you will?
Well, Rich, my first book was called Fast, Fresh, and Green, and there was 9 different ways to cook vegetable side dishes. So I'm not a vegetarian, but I feel like everybody wants to eat more vegetables, and they're looking for delicious ways to cook them. So I started there, and everybody seemed to like that book. So I thought, you know what, why not scooch vegetables to the center of the plate and make them really friendly even to carnivores by putting them in pastas and soups and stews and pizzas and salads and things that everybody likes to eat. They just feature a few more vegetables in delicious ways.
And I think we all know we should eat more vegetables, but, you know, a lot of times when we think of vegetables, we think of how we're going to get them in a restaurant, which is maybe just steamed, and they may be steamed perfectly and they're great, or they may be overcooked and they're mushy. And yeah. So I think vegetables, it's hard to cook them right where they're that perfect blend of just crispy and have all those sensations you like in a good vegetable dish.
Exactly. And I sort of come from a technique background. I was editor of Fine Cooking magazine for many years, and I wrote a lot of vegetable articles where I basically showed people ways to bring out the best flavor in vegetables. I really like high heat cooking, roasting, sautéing, grilling, because it caramelizes the sugars in vegetables, and I feel like that's a great bridge for people. Like roasted broccoli or cauliflower are great for kids.
Now, I think that's counterintuitive to the way most home cooks do it. We think of slow heat instead of high heat.
Right, and that's sort of what I've learned over the years, is to really cook them hot and fast. I like low and slow also for certain vegetables. I have a really good gratin in the book. It's basically a layered vegetable casserole. It's perfect for right now. It's tomatoes and zucchini over caramelized onions with Parmesan breadcrumbs on the top, and everybody loves it, and it's a great destination for summer produce, and it's the main event, and it's kind of fun. I also think you got to have fun in the kitchen or you're not going to do it. So I try to create recipes that are entertaining for the cook to put together as well as tasty for everybody that they've got to feed at the dinner table.
You know, this is the perfect time of year to have a vegetable main course, because a lot of times, you know, around here it's 100 degrees. I know
yeah.
It's been hot in New England as well this summer. And you know, you just don't feel like eating a big heavy meal. And vegetables, even if they are hearty, it seems lighter.
It does. And you know what we do a lot is we grill vegetables. And sometimes that can be scary for people, but I only have one really good tip for that, and that is just to do it, to get used to your grill, because that's really the trick, because every grill is different. But once you start grilling vegetables, I think you'll love it. And I have great salads in the book. My favorite salad in the whole book is grilled zucchini, bell pepper, goat cheese, and grilled bread salad, which really people don't even miss the meat because it's so hearty. It has great deep flavors, has a cherry tomato dressing, which is kind of fun too. So if you put a lot of grilled vegetables in with some hearty greens and maybe a little bit of bread, you've got a really nice summer meal that you can enjoy with your friends out on the patio.
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned about making a good salad is you got to make your own dressing. And I think a lot of people say, I got to make my own dressing. No way.
You know, 3 parts oil to 1 part vinegar, a little bit of salt, dash of mustard, and you're done. And you have something that's much better for you than most bottled salad dressings, which have a lot of junk in them.
Yeah.
Well, and then you can go crazy after that if you want to. You can put chopped up sun-dried tomatoes or fresh herbs or lots of pepper, whatever you like. So,
One of the things I notice about the recipes, the way they're written, you tell us cooking times, but the instructions are a little more picky. They're talking about how something sounds in the plate or how it looks and how it, you know, what's happening. And I found that sort of interesting. It's almost like the way a mother would tell a daughter or, you know, a chef might tell an apprentice how to cook something. It's not so much on 15 minutes at 325. It's more wait till you see, you know, you start beginning to see the browning or
yeah.
whatever. And
yeah.
that was an interesting way of doing it in the book. Why do you give instructions in that way?
Well, that's very Susie-ish. It's interesting that you picked up on that, Rich. But really, I call those doneness tests. And again, from my background at fine cooking and culinary school, and I really think it's turning the keys over to people to good cooking if you can learn what to look for, what to smell, how something feels. Because every oven is different. Most people don't realize that their home ovens are probably not calibrated correctly. Some run hot in spots, and if you just give time for something, you're not giving people the opportunity to necessarily, you know, do the best job with what they're cooking and be able to do it again without the exact time in front of them if they want to. So I think doneness tests are really important.
Well, the book is developed into a whole range of recipes that you could put vegetables front and center in a meal. And that goes from, you know, main dish salads to soups. Soups are a great thing in the winter, you know, having just a big bowl of soup. Pastas, you mentioned gratins and galettes and tillons. Explain the difference between gratins, tillons, and galettes.
Well, I tell everybody those are very fancy names for layered vegetable casseroles, basically. And a tillon is something, it's a Provençal dish, what I described to you, the layered vegetables. It doesn't have any cream sauce. It's usually summer vegetables, tomatoes, zucchinis, eggplants, a little bit of breadcrumb topping, and that is cooked low and slow until the juices. The secret to those dishes is almost all the tillons have tomatoes in them. And tomatoes give off water when they cook, and you can have sort of a soupy, watery, unappealing dish if you only cook it for half an hour. But once the tomatoes give off that liquid, and then the liquid begins to reduce, it begins to get very flavorful. So the trick to them is not undercooking them, it's to cooking them fully until the juices are really bubbling around the edges and really tasty. So that's a tillon. A gratin is usually a heartier winter dish of layered potatoes or squash that's usually got a tiny bit of a cream sauce in it, some cheese and breadcrumbs, so it's not low fat, but it's filling. Good place for greens like Swiss chard, kale, things that you might be wanting your family to try, but are having trouble doing that.
That's a whole subject in and of itself, getting people to try vegetables they're not familiar with. I mean, you know, how do you break through that? I mean, obviously, casseroles are one way to said, well, you've had this before. You've had it in this.
right, exactly. And my partner, Roy, is a meat and potatoes man through and through, but he eats a lot of vegetables now. He told me something I made the other day was zucchini. I can't remember what it was the best zucchini dish he'd ever had because it didn't taste like zucchini. But, you know, I mean, again, I'll go back to the caramelization. Roasting vegetables makes them very flavorful for kids. It's a great way to do it. But also getting kids involved. We have a 9-year-old in our household, and she really likes to help me in the kitchen. And she is pretty adventurous with her palate. She eats roasted Brussels sprouts and loves raw vegetables, fresh peas from the garden and carrots. So I think getting kids involved in the whole process of cooking and enjoying good, fresh food is really important.
You know, when we think of eating vegetables, especially vegetables in the main course, we think of healthy, we think of which they are, nutritious, but we also think of it as sort of low-cal. And one of the things that gratin that you mentioned, both of the gratins, they're probably not really low-cal at all. They're hearty food.
Exactly, yes. And that's, as I say, I'm not a vegetarian, I'm not a nutritionist. I am a cook through and through, you know, trained chef. I'm a food writer. I enjoy food, enjoy a well-balanced diet and lots of activity. So that's sort of I think balance is sort of the big thing in life. I don't claim to do low-fat recipes, but what happens is, depending on the cooking technique and the fresh and green table included, you know, the soup chapter, there's some soups that have very little fat in them. There are salads, which are, you know, low in fat, a little bit of olive oil. And then there's gratins and galettes and tarts, and there's pizzas. My grilled pizza is one of the most fun dishes to make. And then there are grain dishes, which, you know, sort of fall in between. Grains are complex carbohydrates, which, you know, some people think that's a good idea to eat more greens. Some people don't, but I think they're really good vehicles for getting more vegetables on the plate, which is sort of my goal, is to transition people towards eating more vegetables.
You know. Now, we should mention before, we'll get some recipes here in just a moment, but you're living out on Martha's Vineyard, and you have, a small farm? Is it like a... Do you consider it a farm, or is it more like a backyard vegetable garden?
Well, I think we're now technically a farm. We've been calling it a farmette, but when we added 50 baby chickens this spring, I think it really looks like a farm now. We already had 8 laying hens, but we added the 50 more to start really selling eggs. And we doubled the size of the market garden. This is our third year selling vegetables. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a, you know, what looks like a really big home vegetable garden. We have 80 tomato plants and 50 eggplants and peppers, and so we're nowhere near acreage and of a big farm, but it's a good little farmette. And since I sell directly from the farm stand, we have a nice loyal clientele, and we make a little money at it, and we feed ourselves too, so it's kind of cool.
And there's nice egg dishes in this too. I mean, this is definitely not a vegetarian vegetable book. This is about making vegetables work. And I noticed there was a pizza that had sausage on it. So, I mean,
this one has 90% vegetarian, not vegan, but vegetarian. Yeah. Fast, Fresh, and Green had actually a little tiny bit more meat because I use meat as a condiment. As a way to add flavor. It's one of those little tips because I think a lot of people are trying to eat less meat, not cut it out altogether. So I bring it in every once in a while as a flavor booster for vegetable dishes. But egg dishes are great, you know, especially frittatas, which I tell people how to do in here. You know, it's not a scary flipping the pan method or anything like that. Then you've got a repertoire dish that you can, you know, customize however you like.
So what are your secrets to making a good frittata?
Well, I make a really good custard with, of course, farm fresh eggs, but I tested all these recipes with grocery store eggs. I think cooking the vegetables first, but big secret to frittatas is not to put watery vegetables into them. And I saute the vegetables first. Like I have a corn and zucchini frittata that I just do a quick saute on first. I have a broccoli and cheddar and potato frittata, which is really nice and filling, and I give the broccoli a little spin in the stir-fry pan before I put it in the frittata. And that means the vegetables don't weep, which weeping is a problem with custards, you know. It can make them not so appealing. So cooked vegetables, a nice little amount of cheese, lots of fresh herbs to give flavor, and a trick with custard is always to salt it at the beginning. Something like a frittata, you can't really salt afterwards. So a little bit of salt while you're mixing everything up means you're going to have the best flavor when it comes out of the oven.
My guest today is Susie Middleton, the former editor of Fine Cooking Magazine. She's a cookbook author. She owns a small farmette out on Martha's Vineyard. And she is the author of several cookbooks, including her latest, The Fresh and Green Table, Delicious Ideas for Bringing Vegetables into Every Meal. She also has this wonderful blog called SixBurnerSue.com. And you were talking about gratins in a while. There was I think the one that you mentioned earlier is sort of featured on your website right now. And it is a gorgeous summertime dish. It's zucchini and fresh tomatoes, right?
Yes. I think that the name of that recipe, I'm looking at the book now because I've done a lot of variations on these over the years. They're extremely popular. I'd say this is my friend's number one favorite Susie recipe, and it's Mediterranean zucchini, tomato, and bell pepper tian. Great to do right now while you've got tomatoes and zucchinis. And what I do is cook some onions, and then this one, some bell peppers, lay them across the bottom of the pan, and then I just arrange rows of zucchinis and sliced zucchinis and tomatoes, drizzle olive oil and some fresh herbs over, and sprinkle some cheese and a little bit of breadcrumbs, and bake it, as I was saying, for quite a good long time so that the juice is reduced and the tomato juices mingle with the onion and pepper juices and create this fabulous flavor.
So when you're not talking thyme, you're talking about the look and the smell of the thing.
Right.
It's going to get watery first.
Right.
And then you just wait for the water to sort of...
The water reduces, and so what you're left with is these intense tomato and pepper juices and onion juices that are incredibly flavorful. And when you pull the tian out of the oven and let it sit for a few minutes, it reabsorbs that juice, and it just has this incredible flavor.
Mm, so it's important to let it sit after it comes out.
Yep, yep. Most things are better not eaten straight out of the oven, you know, just given a little bit of time to rest. I mean, they say that a lot about meat, about letting the juices redistribute, but it's true with vegetable dishes, too.
Well, let's talk about some great summertime dishes from the book. Certainly, summertime, having just a main salad is a great idea. You mentioned the grilled zucchini, bell pepper, goat cheese, and grilled bread salad.
Very beginning. Long name.
I know. I have to go through that. But give us
it's
some.
It's worth it, I promise. It's really delicious.
Yeah. Give us some other ideas of some great salads.
Well, there's a fun one, the 9-layer grilled vegetable salad, which, also, again, is grilled vegetables with black beans and avocados. It's sort of a Mexican layered salad that you can arrange in a glass bowl. That's a lot of fun. One of my very favorite salads actually isn't for summer. It's the roasted root fries salad, which is potatoes and carrots and parsnips roasted in the oven, cut into fry shapes, and then just tossed with oil and salt and put in the oven and piled on greens. So that's kind of fun. But there's also a roasted beet salad, and a lot of people are cooking beets right now. July is a good beet month, and that's delicious. And I always add a little bit of mint to beets and greens to bring out flavor. So those are some of my favorites.
Now, there are a number of pizzas recipes, too, in the book. And how to use vegetable, and I know the one that caught my eye immediately, which really looked good, was one that uses broccoli rabe and... I think it's like goat cheese and
yeah,
a little bit of sausage.
Yeah, the little bit of sausage we were talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, which I use the meat sometimes. I have a really good food processor pizza dough, which I love. And again, it was one of those aha moments for me when I learned to make pizza at home. It's just so much better than the globby pizza you get out. And also, Libby, our 9-year-old, really loves to make the pizzas with us. So we do this a lot. The dough proofs in less than an hour, so we throw the ingredients into the food processor, make it, and then we do a variety of toppings. And I do turn my roasted tomatoes also into a yummy tomato sauce, but you don't have to. You can use jarred tomato sauce. Sometimes I like a white pizza, so I have a white pizza in the book which has caramelized onions and cremini mushrooms. Mm-hmm. I have a potato carpaccio pizza. And then the delicious broccoli rabe sausage goat cheese and sun-dried tomato pizza, which, again, as we are talking, is a good way to get people to try broccoli rabe, which is really yummy, but it tends to be a bit bitter for American palate. So a little bit of goat cheese tends to temper that.
My guest today is Susie Middleton, former editor of Fine Cooking Magazine, a cookbook author, and the author of The Fresh and Green Table, Delicious Ideas for Bringing Vegetables into Every Meal. Now, what's one of the more unusual ways to use vegetables as a main dish?
Well, I guess the tart chapter, you know, we were just talking about pizzas, and again, I keep saying that I love to have fun in the kitchen, and one of the things I learned to do early on at my first restaurant job was to make crostatas, which are Italian open-faced tarts. They're sometimes also called galettes or just rustic tarts. You've probably seen them with fruit in them. But my very first job, I worked in a takeout market making a lot of food. Actually, that was my second job. I had the restaurant job cooking at Al Forno in Providence, Rhode Island. You may have been there. I don't know, Rich. And then I did this takeout food, which was I had to just invent things constantly because we sold so much food. And I did these open-faced tarts with a really nice crust, and I filled them with roasted vegetables. And the one in the book that's really sort of hitting a note with people is the ratatouille rustic tart. And it's really delicious, and that's a roasted combination of summer vegetables highlighted in this fun-to-make tart where you just roll it out, pile the vegetables in the middle, and fold the sides in.
And then throw it in the oven. Wow, that sounds pretty easy. I mean, obviously, the hard part is making the dough and everything.
Yeah, and again, I make that in the food processor. And I have lots of tips on how to roll it out. And the trick is getting the dough onto the sheet pan before you fill it. That's kind of true of a lot of things. Like I've made that mistake with pizza too, trying to top it before it gets on the pizza peel.
Now I have to ask about one of the more unusual recipe categories is bread puddings using extensive amounts of vegetables. And there's a bread pudding with roasted cherry tomatoes, corn, and cilantro. Okay, I can see that. The next one gets a little bit up, Tuscan kale, bacon, scallions, and maple. And then the last one, asparagus, peas, shallots, chives, and fontina cheese. These are very different bread puddings than I'm used to.
Well, you know, these are like stratas or egg casseroles. They're really, they sound a little fancier than they really are. They're, again, like the frittatas, it's just my way of suggesting to people that egg dishes are a great way to eat more vegetables. And the roasted cherry tomato one is really delicious, and that's, again, perfect for right now with corn and cilantro. The winter one with Tuscan kale, a little bit of bacon, a little bit of scallions and maple. I mean, it's not as weird sounding as it's really just eggs with greens, which is a classic pairing. Add a little bit of a something smoky because greens go really well with, you know, bacon or sausage or something like that. So a little bit of that, and you have a really nice hearty dinner or brunch or any kind of main dish.
I guess when I'm thinking of bread pudding, I'm thinking of dessert. This is main dish, and it's more like a souffle than a real bread pudding, isn't it?
Well, they turn out to be very light, and I mean, light feeling. They're filling, but also light feeling, if that makes sense. I like to use challah bread, which I think is really absorbs the custard evenly, but you can use any kind of, bread you get.
Is challah bread good for, like, making traditional southern dessert bread pudding, too?
Oh, definitely, yes.
That's the best bread? Yeah.
Yeah. And, the dessert bread puddings just have sugar in them. It's the same idea. It's just eggs and milk and cream. And if you're making a dessert one, you've combined the eggs with sugar and maybe a little bit of vanilla. But these just have cheese and herbs in them instead. So it's just a little switch over to the savory side.
Now, you also have a section on the sautés and ragouts. One that looks like it would be perfect for this time of year is your, I believe it's double corn, black bean, and cheddar quesadillas. That sounds like a perfect summertime vegetarian dish.
Everybody loves quesadillas, and I've got a good technique for doing them. And I really like corn tortillas. That's why I call that one a double corn, because it's got fresh corn and black beans in it, but also made with a corn tortilla, which cooks up very crispy, I think. So those are a lot of fun. There's also a green bean and cherry tomato saute, which is delicious in that chapter. And I recommend that for this time of year, too. I do these things called ragouts, which, again, it sounds fancy, but all it really is sautéed vegetables where I use a little bit of liquid, something flavorful, like a little balsamic vinegar and orange juice to deglaze the pan, which is basically just getting the little brown bits off the bottom of the pan after you've sautéed, and that liquid becomes a little bit of a sauce, so you have sort of a saucy sauté. That's what a ragout is to me. It's not anything too heavy. But a great thing to do with vegetables because you can, again, brown them first for flavor and then cook them all the way through by finishing them with a little bit of liquid, if that makes sense.
My guest today is Susie Middleton. Her new book is titled The Fresh and Green Table, Delicious Ideas for Bringing Vegetables into Every Meal. And I want to finish, if we can, with you have towards the end of the book, Mastering the Basics. And you begin by saying how to make a great green salad. And you have a number of rules.
I am opinionated, aren't I?
A little bit.
Rules are made to be broken, too, Rich. I think, at Fine Cooking, every time we ran a salad story, they are very popular because I think people want to know how to wash greens, how to store greens, and how to combine them. We're all a little spoiled now with the green mixes in the bags at the grocery store, but everybody's had the experience of buying them and they sit for 1 or 2 days in the refrigerator and they go bad and they're wilty and gnarly. So I recommend, doing the old-fashioned thing and buying heads of lettuce, buying a couple different kinds, and washing them and separating them ahead, and then you can just pull them out of the fridge when you're ready and combine them. I have suggested ideas for combining them. I have a nice summer shades of green side salad, which has bib lettuce and a lime honey dressing and some avocado, and it's very pretty and light, and then I have a winter green and white salad, which has a little bit of endive and arugula and some blue cheese, and really a very nice way to elevate things at the dinner table.
One of the, I'll just go through some of the rules there. One of the things you say is very important is wash the greens as soon as you get them home.
Yes.
Why is that so important to do? Because, you know, most of the time when you, if you get them, even at the farmer's market, they're, you know, they're being sprayed with water. They're, you know, they're wet when you get them.
It's true, but they don't actually like to stay wet if they're going to be refrigerated. Ironically, you want to wash them and then dry them and store them in a zip-top bag with paper towels. The paper towels will absorb the extra water. So if they're out of the refrigerator, like mine often are when I harvest them for the farm stand, I put them in cold water. But here's my tip for washing. If you've got any lettuce that's coming with grit, put it in tepid water, not cold water. Put it in a bowl of tepid water, and the grit or the dirt will sink down. Warmish water releases dirt, but cold water doesn't. So then if your greens need reviving, you can soak them in cold water. But if they don't, you can put them in the salad spinner, dry them, and store them in the fridge. And they will keep that way for quite a while.
Another rule is to make your own vinaigrette. We went through that earlier. And then the fourth item is, you know, the greens are great. It's good to have extra ingredients, but be careful about what you add.
Yes, my pet peeve is the big, underripe, cherry, whole cherry tomato rolling around, and you're trying to stab it with your fork. And it's like, what is this thing doing here?
It becomes a projectile at the most inopportune times, yes.
Yes, yes, or huge chunks of cucumber that haven't been peeled, and you're kind of trying to tackle that and eat that gracefully. And so I think, you know, cutting things all about the same size is nice, into bite-sized pieces is good. But I also, if you've got really lovely greens and maybe a little bit of cheese or toasted nuts or some croutons, you don't need a whole lot of added vegetables into to make a nice, elegant green salad. So
we know here in Oklahoma right now it's corn season. Corn season's almost over in Oklahoma, really.
Really? Well, oh my gosh.
Well,
we're just starting.
Well, and it's drought too, but the sweet corn comes late June and early July, but it's certainly
okay.
Tomato season. What are you eating? What's the vegetable that's perfect in New England right now?
Potatoes.
Potatoes, really?
We dug our first potatoes in July. So doing a lot with potatoes. There's a great recipe in the book with a salad that has crushed and roasted red potato patties in it, which are the most delicious things. Not low fat, but very, very tasty.
And they're patties. So you're crushing them and making them into like little patties. Yeah.
Yeah. You boil a little red potatoes and then you take your hand and kind of smush them, and you toss them in oil and put them on a sheet pan and cook them in very high heat, and they get crispy around the edges, and they're soft on the inside because they've already been boiled, so they're really good.
Oh, that sounds good. That does
sound
good.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got zucchinis, and I'm selling basil and now green beans and yellow beans, but we're waiting on the tomatoes. They're close.
All right. Well, Susie Middleton, it's a pleasure talking with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rich.
Food writer and former editor of Fine Cooking Magazine, Susie Middleton, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Her new book is titled The Fresh and Green Table, Delicious Ideas for Bringing Vegetables into Every Meal. It's published by Chronicle Books. You can read more about her on the web at sixburnersue.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. If you miss one of our recent shows, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org, or just keep up with the latest news via our website. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.